I knew this was gonna happen.
Let's just keep it.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to the Pensive Podcast. If this is your first time here, you are most welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Juliana. I am a young Christian out here trying to live the best life God has called me to live. And if you are returning, thank you so much. I really appreciate y'all, you know, thank you. Anyway, today, for this particular episode, I have a special guest, fam. It's a real one, it's a special one. Okay, so, I have here someone that I have known for, what was this year? It's gonna be nine years.
Mate, it's almost 9 years.
Fam, 9 years. So, since secondary school, since year seven, and we have remained very close since then. I really thank God. This is someone that has inspired me on many occasions, especially my faith, being a young Christian. I feel like you were the first person I knew that was like proper for Christ.
Really?
As a young person. Yeah, if I think about it, like, yeah. But she is the writer for The Voice of Young Christians, which is a blog that is on the interwebs. On the interwebs and
www.thevoiceofyc.com. No caps, no spaces.
Girl, I didn't even say your name.
Didn't even make sure they get it.
Yes, thevoiceofyc.com. And I am so pleased to introduce my sister Zoe. Yay, everyone, give it a round of applause. Hallelujah.
Hi, everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to quickly ask you. I know I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but just a few questions so they understand what the Voice of Young Christians is about. So why did you actually start writing your blog, The Voice of Young Christians?
That's a good question. I've actually never thought about it. Because in secondary school, I always used to like just be like always giving people advice. And at the time, I feel like it really irritated people because I've always been one to like, I've met my mental maturity is not represented from like how I look.
Yeah,
like my my physical appearance does not correlate with my mental maturity. And so I've always like thought like that. I always read a lot and I write a lot, and I had like things that I would have advice, things that I hadn't gone through, just like advice, like I had never been in a relationship yet. I was advising people about relationship, and I thought maybe other people would like to hear it. Like, okay, fair enough, there might be people near me who don't want to hear it right now, but then there might be other people who do. So then I started writing them down, and at first I would write them in like a journal and not like do anything with them, but then I was just like, that people might actually want to read this. So then I started a website, invested more time into it, and obviously money, and then it eventually became what it is now.
Amen. And how old is it now? Wait, you started it when?
The year before I started uni, so it's just over 2 years.
We thank God.
No, it's not over 2 years, it's just under
just
2 years.
About.
Yeah.
Nice. We're still in the Pensive Podcast is still in humble beginnings, but you know what? We thank God because Do not despise, what does it say? Do not despise small beginnings, something. Anyway, we're just going to move on because I'm not good at quoting scripture off the top of my head. But today, we are going to be talking about
Faith.
That was what episode one was about. But I brought in a fresh perspective to speak about faith. And I can't lie, yeah, we spoke a little bit about it beforehand. And my eyes have been opened a bit. I'm not going to lie. She's said a lot of truthful stuff and we're here to share it with you guys. So, yeah.
Enjoy.
Take it away, Zoe.
Okay. So, where do I start? So, faith has like so many aspects to it. And I feel like as Christians, for faith, like our Christianity is basically our faith. We don't really understand enough about it. So, I recently, when the faith that I thought I had was dwindling, I was thinking, why is it like this? Am I saying I have faith, but I'm still having these doubts? That means it can't really be faith, because faith can't be it contradicts the concept of faith to say you have doubt. So then I try to think about, okay, so what is it that I'm calling faith? If I'm having doubt, it can't be faith. So what is it?
True.
And then I led to the thought pattern of optimism and how a lot of Christians, what they describe as faith is often optimism coated with scripture and God, but it's not actually faith. And optimism is a thing that as Christians we should most definitely have. It's impossible to have faith and be pessimistic, but true. Optimism is something that is accessible to both Christians and non-Christians, but is where we go from our optimism that defines whether we are actual believers or not. And so Hebrews 11, wait, let me just
first one.
Yeah, I really should have prepared myself. Yeah, Juliana will take
okay. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
Okay, so faith, what this scripture basically says is that hope is a prerequisite for faith. You cannot have faith without having hope. It doesn't say that we need to have hope, you need faith, but for faith, you need to have hope. That's why it goes from faith and then deeper and describes it.
Hope. Can I side note? There was one time in my youth fellowship, my voices leader, my former mother voices leader, she gave a talk about faith, and she put it in the analogy of science. So she had like a test tube,
mm-hmm.
and she titled like it was filled with faith, and then if you zoomed in on the microscope, mm-hmm. yeah, and you looked at what the little molecules mm-hmm. it was things hoped for, which I thought was so smart. I'll draw it for you later, but I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh. But anyway, sorry, continue.
Yeah, just like wondered. Hope is a prerequisite for faith, but it's not what faith is. Faith is not hope, but it is inside what hope is. And so hope is something that unbelievers have. If you have a friend that isn't Christian, they say, oh yeah, I hope it will go well. They have hope. So hope is something that you can have absent of your Christianity. But what makes us different is that on top of our hope, okay, wait, let me take this back. So hope is basically optimism, but there's some tiny elements of uncertainty. It's a bit more advanced than optimism. It's not quite optimism, it's a bit more advanced, but there's still tiny elements of uncertainty, because when you hope for something, you still have in the back of your mind that there's a small chance that you might not get it, but you have a strong hope that it will happen. Now, what faith is that hope, and you basically just delete that aspect of uncertainty. And that's what, when you put God in, when God comes in, that uncertainty leaves. And that's what being Christian is. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you take that hope that you have and you delete your uncertainty, and then that's when it becomes faith. And it's in understanding that. And when we think about what we're praying for or what you're asking for, or just the general way your perspective of life, and you think, is this really hope or is this really faith? Because if this is hope, if this is faith, then there should be no doubt present. And when there's doubt present, then you can then understand that it's not actual faith that you have. You're just hoping for it, praying to God, but you don't have full faith.
Mm.
And I was telling Juliana that when Christians pray for something, the way we pray tells us whether we have faith or not. When we're praying for something, okay, you want a car, you're praying for it. God, please, I really want this car. Please, God, I'll sacrifice this. When you start praying like that, it shows that you have doubt. Because when you pray from a perspective of faith, you don't need to look at what you have and try and tell God how to work it out.
You said you don't need to be desperate, is what you said. Like,
that desperation shouldn't be there. God, I would really like a car, and if it's your will, please do it for me. Full stop, that's it. There should be no begging, crying, sleepless nights, irritation. All of that should be present if you have faith. And also when you have faith, what makes it different from hope is that you're now not having faith based on what you want. It's based on whether it aligns with God's will. So if I pray for something, God, please can I have a car? And then I add the part, this is what makes it faith. And if it's your will, please give it to me. And full stop. If you don't get the car, you're not going to say, okay, maybe I shouldn't be Christian then, because God's clearly not answering my prayers. That's not what you should resort to. But what you should then think is that, okay, then it wasn't God's will. If if it was God's will, he will move heaven and earth to provide for me what he promised me. Mm. If it's not, then I wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
And also I was saying that the difference between us and God is that God made humans constrained, like the way we live, the way our lives operate, it's constrained to logic and time, two concepts that God operates outside of. And because of that, there's a lot of things that God will do that we will never be able to understand. God doesn't operate on those principles. So when we pray something from that perspective, we won't be able to have full faith because we're thinking, well, this isn't actually logically possible. If I have £0 in my account and I'm praying to God to go and visit my family in America, logically, I know I don't have a job, I have no income, like now or in the near future, so how would it be possible? You will start having doubt because you're now looking at it from a perspective of logic and how logically, from the human perspective, it's not really possible. Mm. But God doesn't operate on logic. If God wants to drop £10,000 in your account with no reference, no account number attached to it, nobody knows where it came from, he can do it. He can do it. And nobody can say anything because, I mean, it's God. Like, he can do whatever he likes. And when you have faith, you have that in your mind that literally anything God wants to do, he can do. If I'm praying for something, I need to pray from it from the perspective that God will do whatever he can or whatever he wants to do to make it happen if it's his will.
Mm.
And so when you pray for something, you leave it there and just be confident in the fact that if it's God's will, I don't need to worry. I don't need to stress. I don't need to cry. I don't need to disturb my sleep and have bags under my eyes under something that is already pre-written in God's will if he wants it to occur. And then that then leads on to the concept of
you don't need to do that.
The concept of God's will and understanding what's God's will. Okay, if you're now operating from the idea of God's will, so what is God's will? I mean, I know it's what God's want, but it's not just that, it's more deeper than that. And how do I then live like in God's will? I've written about it on my blog, but there's still, it's just so many elements to it, you can't really summarize it in just you know, a couple of posts. And God's will is not really something that will ever, God can only show us a fraction of his will. It's like taking a map and God only ever shows us the location that we, the places around where we're going to. So when you look on Google Maps, Google Maps doesn't show you the entire globe, like from and show you and pinpoint it. It zooms in on where you are and everything that's around where you're going to. You only see it from your perspective. You don't need to see the motorway in Scotland when you're going to somewhere in Manchester. Like, all of that would be unnecessary. God only shows you what you need to see. So if you then, if you're then looking at the map and you only see the motorway stop, you know, somewhere, and you think, wait, like, this can't just end here. There has to be more than this. But you don't need to see that, so you're not going to see that. And it will be hard for you to understand how long that road is, how short that, how short it is, what is around it, because you can't see that far. And when God shows us, or when God gives us, you know, a snippet of his will, that's how he gives it to us. He only shows us what we need to see. We don't need to see 10, 15 years in the future if that's not what he wants. And because of that, when you understand that, you know that this road is leading somewhere. I don't know how long it is. I don't know how short it is. But I know it's not going to stop here. It clearly is leading somewhere. But we have confidence in the fact that it's leading somewhere. And for now, that's all we need to know. And that's basically what God's will is to us. God's will is so much bigger and larger than just that little bit of the map that Google Maps shows us. But for that part period of our life, that's all we need to see. But you, following on the Google Maps analogy, if you want to get to that destination and Google Maps has highlighted this blue route that you need to follow, and you decide, you know what, I know there's a shortcut there, I'm going to follow that way, you can't really be it will redirect you, but it might add extra minutes to your journey. You might end up in traffic. Google Maps never told you to go that way. It calculated the shortest, quickest route with the minimum traffic, and you decided, I know this road, let me go there. And you ended up somewhere else that you don't know. It won't just leave.
I'm feeling so triggered right now.
But Google Maps is not like that. It's not going to just leave you and say, you know what, find your way yourself. I told you this way, decided to go. It will redirect, it will calculate, recalculate. Wow. It just might take longer now. Hmm. And that's basically, I feel, how God's will works. Hmm. He will give you, he will show you a snippet of his will. You can choose to follow it the way he wants to. You're still going to get to your destination regardless, because I mean it's a predecided thing. But the route is not, that's where our free will comes into play. How we, the route that we take, that's where our element of free will can disturb that. But God will show us this route that we should take. And if we follow his rule, his will in obedience, we can get the take the shortest route, the minimum traffic, that will just be the nicest route possible. And when we start to, you know, add elements of doubt, or we know what we're doing, you know, this is, somebody did it this way, and start to just add our own human complications to it and take our own route, we will still get there. God will just have to recalculate, and then we can't then say, God, why did you forsake me? He hasn't forsaken you. You just added those extra minutes to your journey because of your lack of obedience.
Ouch.
Yeah, mate, I just need to take a breath.
That one was heavy. I can't even lie. You started saying Google Maps. I was like, oh my God. No, that was deep, man. That was deep.
And so for that, I'm going to use the example of Abraham and Abraham's obedience. In Romans 4, it talks about, oh, mate, I want to add something.
Go ahead. You in the spirit, you flow.
Okay, let me talk about Abraham for a bit first. I'm still going to go back to Abraham, but I'll go from this perspective first. Abraham was very obedient to God. And most of those strong men that God mentions in the Bible, yeah, they had those, their periods where they, you know, were doing different things. But fundamentally, they were obedient. And that's what really defines righteousness. That's, I think that's what righteousness is. Obedience. Like, on... What word can I use to add to it?
Undisputed.
Yes, undisputed, thank you. Undisputed obedience. Nobody can question or shake that obedience. It's just so engraved within you that you can you just walk. God tells you, yeah, Lord, take me away. Like, you don't even ask questions. Mm. And that's the kind of person that Abraham's with. And that's why he prospered. That's why we are still prospering, because of his obedience.
Mm.
And Abraham is such a clear, and Jesus obviously, Abraham for me is like the big Old Testament example of what obedience and following God's will is. And then in the New Testament, Jesus is now the new example. The New Testament refers to Abraham a lot, and his promise, the promises that God made for him, and you know, the Israelites, and etc, etc. And still in the New Testament, in that whole, when Peter's talking about, not Peter, sorry, Paul is talking about, he's still mentions Abraham several times.
Mm.
Because he this guy died years ago, and they're still mentioning him. He did something. He didn't just live to breathe air. He did something.
He didn't just live to breathe air. Sorry.
Yeah, he did something that we are still looking at his example, like that, mate, that level of obedience and faith. Can't understand it. Like, you don't know what's happening. You have no clue. God didn't even show him the map. He just said, just walk this, literally just showed him the arrow, and he was just like following, not blindly, but he used God as his eyes. He didn't need that sight. He just knew that if God is my eyes, like, there's, what am I even worrying for? So now I'm going to add the idea of works and adding faith to works, and how, okay, so like, right, we now understand what faith is. Okay, I've changed up my life. I'm not going to, like, act in what actual faith is. Is that enough to get me to heaven? I just believe in God and just, you know, have proper faith. Is that what righteousness is? No, that's not what righteousness is. That's not where it stops. Righteousness and works together is what leads to, is what righteousness is. It's an equation. Okay. Quite simple. It's mentioned many times, maybe not as like plain as that, but it's mentioned many times that faith, what is that scripture? Faith without works is, I don't want to misquote.
Dead.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what exactly what it says, but.
Oh, let me find it.
But yeah, it basically says faith without works is dead. Like, yeah, you can have all the faith in the world, but if you're not, you have nothing to show for it, then it's not...
It's James 2 from verse 14. This is New King James. Shall I read it?
Yeah.
What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to say another... Oh, let me give the... It says Abraham. Okay.
See, they're mentioning Abraham.
It says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And it says, likewise, Rahab, but then verse 26 says, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
See, they brought in Abraham again. That man was a heavy man.
Special.
Works is very important, and you can't be obedient and have nothing to show for it. God is not, you know, how do I describe this? He wouldn't just... Faith on itself is for yourself. You're having faith for yourself. You're not having faith for the entire Christian community. Mm. You're having faith for yourself, but you're working for the rest of the Christian community. For not just the Christian community, for everybody, your fellow humans. That's what your work is for. And Christianity is a selfless walk in life. So if you're not doing things for other people, if you're not working for the gospel, then you're not doing anything.
True.
For... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is... I was wondering the other day, okay? So, Jesus came in, changed up the Bible a bit, like, changed up Judaism, and we now have what we now call Christianity. So why are they still... Why is the Old Testament still in the Bible? Because everything we need to follow is in Jesus' life. So technically, when you think about it, we don't really need the Old Testament. We only need... Like, you know Bibles, when they print... See Old Testament by itself. It's either Old Testament, New Testament, or just New Testament. Because New Testament is what Christianity is. But why do they still put the Old Testament there? Old Testament is mainly Judaism. And it's when Jesus came, that's when they shifted to the New Testament. So I was thinking, what is the purpose? And I've put it down to this thing, that the Old Testament is representative of works. A lot of the heavy men in the Old Testament, they worked for... God, Abraham, Moses, Isaac. Can you help me?
did you say Job?
Job.
Okay, Job.
These people, they worked for God. That's what the Jewish law was so heavy on. Works. What are you doing? Following these laws. Like, it was heavy on work. But it didn't really have... It was so rigid that it didn't allow much room for the element of faith. People didn't have faith by themselves. They had it through the priests. Like, they didn't have a relationship for themselves. And then Jesus came in and he added this faith, emphasis on faith and having faith and, you know, believing that he's the Son of God.
Mm.
And you take the Old Testament and you take the New Testament and you put them together, and that's what God wants for us. And that's why the Bible is the Old Testament and the New Testament. Faith without works is dead. The Old Testament without the New Testament is not Christianity. And the New Testament without the Old Testament is not Christianity. But the two of them together, following the laws of God from the new perspective that Jesus brought with faith and with love, it says love your neighbor, like the new thing that Jesus said that we should do. And with love, the way Jesus said it. But the two of them together is what Christianity is. Like, you can say you love somebody and I have faith, but I'm not going to follow, you know, the Old Testament, the commandments. I'm going to sleep around, I'm going to lie, I'm going to steal and murder people. But I still have faith in God. I'm still trusting in God. I'm still working, you know, for the gospel. No, that, like, you still have to have, like, follow those laws. It's just when Jesus came, he brought a new perspective on our relationship with God. not even a new perspective. He allowed us to have, there was no relationship with God before. Mm. There was just following laws. Very few people had relationships with God. They lived their relationship through the priest or, you know, whoever it was in there.
Can I just interject there? What you were saying about the works, the Old Testament being works and the New Testament kind of being faith, or kind of paraphrasing you a bit. But it kind of reminded me of, like, it says by grace through faith. So I had to Google it, and it's Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Amen.
Amen.
And even it reiterates it again in Romans 3 as well, kind of the whole idea of it's not by works that you're justified. It's in Romans 3 as well. So Galatians 2 and Romans 3 as well kind of touch on that.
It's by work and through your faith that you're justified.
Yeah.
But if you have, see, the thing with faith is it's like you can't have one thing without having another. You can't have faith without being obedient. You can't have faith without being hope. And you can't, if you're being obedient to God, then by default you'll be following the laws and you'll have works. So usually if you have what faith actually is supposed to be, you will have works. But it's just emphasizing the point. Oh, don't forget that. Don't focus so much on your faith that you forget the importance of works. And don't focus so much on the works that you forget on developing your faith. Develop them together. Work for the gospel and also strengthen your own self. Be selfless, but also have that tiny element of selfishness where you're focusing on your own. I don't want to call it selfishness because, you know, but like, focus on your own faith, but don't forget other people around you. Like, Christianity is not a walk you're supposed to do alone. God never intended it that way. We're all supposed to work together and work together and walk together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we do that and we work for the gospel, we help other people, we uplift other people and strengthen other people's faith. By working for the gospel, you build other people's faith. Everything goes back to building of faith. When you work, when you sacrifice your time to work for the church, it builds your faith. You see people's life being blessed and you're like, yes, this is the life God calls for me. Builds your faith. Every work you do ends up building your faith. But you cannot build your faith or even just be righteous without works.
Wow.
Do you want to add anything?
Nah, I don't want to. It's perfect. I feel like Holy Spirit's really flowed through you, and I didn't want to interrupt the flow coming through. But I really, really, girl, we need to talk a lot more. Like, not even like just a text thing. It has to be because you have so much wisdom. I feel like sometimes you forget how much wisdom someone else has, and it's just nice. And I really thank God that you were you're the first guest on this, so that I can begin to see that there's so many different perspectives on topics, because I've already spoken about faith, but this is such a fresh perspective. I have to now go back and reevaluate, do I really have faith, or is my understanding of faith as comprehensive as I thought it was? And as I'm sitting here right now, I feel like no, it wasn't. So I'm going to thank God that this was Holy Spirit inspired, this collab. Should I call it a collab?
Yeah.
Let's call it a collab.
That Google Maps thing was on the spot. Like, I need to rethink that. I was saying it without knowing where I was going.
But now, when you came out, I was like, oh my God.
That was pretty deep what I said.
Nice.
Yeah, I need to think about it as well. It's true.
Because even as of recent as well, I feel like I didn't really have proper faith before. But now I feel like, maybe more recently, I've realized that, okay, I'm beginning to understand that my faith is not necessarily, if it's in line with God's will, then my faith, that's my faith almost. I tried to say it earlier. I feel like I still haven't figured it out, but if it's in line with God's will, my faith kind of goes with that. And it's not necessarily, I think I just had optimism, like hella optimism before, but mine now is, if it's in line with God's will, what I'm asking for, I shouldn't have to have any doubt with it. So
and I use the example of, like, okay, this recent exam period, like, anyone who knows me knows, like, my academics is quite important to me, because I from a quite a young age, I've always understood the importance of knowledge and, like, how you, I mean, like, the outward appearance, as you old, your body degrades, but your brain is something that can stay longer than your physical. So I've always, you know, been someone who always like is trying to gain more knowledge, always reading, and so naturally that falls under the brackets of academics. So academics has been something that I've always been for, not always, when I got to like year 10 and stuff, becoming serious, then
girl, you were always academic.
No, the thing is, 7, 8, 9. No, I was not. You think I was, like, those times when we used to talk and get in trouble, that was when we got to like year 10, then we chilled.
Okay, yeah, we chilled, chilled a bit.
But like year 7 to year 9, we were sending memos in the mouth. That wasn't being serious.
Oh my god.
So yeah. Yeah, so this recent exam period, that's like probably the area that has potential to shake my faith the most, because it's the thing that I put the most work into. So this exam period was very testing for me, because our university decided to make the examination style harder and also increase the content, which meant that what they were doing before, like they had increased the workload and they also increased like the complexity of the coursework, just basically everything just became harder. And so yeah, it was very testing for me. And so during the exam I started revision as early as I could, like revising from the beginning is not a possibility. As not as much as they tell you that in uni, you know, start revision from with which time, them? Please?
Where?
With which time?
With what knowledge?
Am I going to create extra? It's not possible. Mm. Really, you can only start when the coursework's end or to closer towards exam time. Because if you start revising, look, there's no need to go into the details. Basically, it's not possible. So I started revising when I could, and so during the exam time, there was had chunks of lectures that I hadn't like even remembered that I'd even know that we did until I was reading for them. And like before the exam, when I was doing questions and I was still getting them wrong, my exam was in 9 hours and I'm still getting things wrong. And I was starting to panic a lot, like, and it was like a spiral, like I was starting to panic and then thinking about it more, I was starting to panic even more, I started panicking even more, and I'm like, what is this? How can I say I trust God and I'm doing all of this? What is this silliness? What is this? I'm saying I trust in God and I'm doing all of this. So I, some, like a few weeks before when I was revising, I had, you know, I felt God was telling me that a specific topic was going to come up. I told my friend, she didn't believe me, it came up. Then there was another topic that I thought was going to come up. I wasn't sure, because it had come up several times and it was a very small topic that wasn't really that difficult. So, I mean, they're trying to make things difficult. Why would it come up? But I felt just revise it. And this specific type of question came up. So when I got into the exam, before I even looked at any of the questions, I looked straight. If I see this question, this exam, I'm going to smash this exam. I already know.
Amen.
I looked to the paper. I saw that question. So I thought, mate, this exam is going to be easy. It was not. And
sorry.
When we did the first question. I was starting to get a little bit hot, but I thought, you know, I'm not sweating yet. It's still manageable. When I turned to the second question, the way I was sweating, the question had a small 9% part and then it had a 91% part. I could answer the 9% part. The 91% part, I could only write not even up to a line. So I really thought, I've lost 25% of the paper. That's it. It's done. It's finished. As I was leaving the hall, I was like, you know what? Please just... Can we not, because people were obviously, you know, how they
talk
discuss
about, oh, what's the answer she get for that?
It's just not even. I walked straight home, called my mum. I was crying on the phone and I called my friend. I was crying as well. I was just like, I've worked so, and this is the exam I prepared for the most as well. And I was just like, I've worked so hard. And look at this. But then I realised I was putting too much pressure on the exam going well, meaning that God was helping me. Like, you finding it easy, you can't basically you can't decide when God's going to intervene. You can't say, okay, while I'm writing the exam, God bring on. Like, you can't tell God the way to work. If he wants to work before, in the middle, after, he can change result. He can change your answers. He can, the person marking can suddenly become tired and just be ticking things that they do ordinarily. Would not. Anything can happen. Like, you can't restrict God. And I feel that's what I was doing. And that's what that showed me. I was putting too many restrictions on the way. I was basically telling God how to help me. Like, God, this is what I want you. I need you right now to give me the answers. And this is the only way I'm going to. And we do that a lot. And
I'm actually so triggered right now.
We don't realise. And we're praying for something. We already have in our minds the way God should work. Like, what? What is this? You can't do that. You want someone to help you and you're telling them how to help you. you ask him to help you and you leave it there. The way he helps you, whether it's a natural way, whether it's a way you expect or not, regardless, it doesn't matter. In that exam, listen, I didn't answer 25% of the paper. So, and there was another question I didn't really answer that well either. So, in the exam, I had calculated maximum I could get in this paper is 62%. That's being generous. I got 68% in that paper. I did not... The maths of how it happened. And in another paper, I answered maybe 65% of the paper. 74%. And that's... It didn't make sense to me. And I was using being in the exam, being present in the exam, and just flying through the paper as my sign of whether God's with me or not. You can't decide that. Wow. And putting those restrictions on God is really what limits your faith. You need to, when you have faith, when you're growing your faith, take off those restrictions. Like, know that any way God, just work. However, I've prayed for this. I know that whatever's, even if I failed that paper, it's part of God's will. I'm just going to do the best I can, have the faith I have, and leave the rest to God. Whether the paper's easy, it's not. Whether I pass the exam, I don't. It's all aligns with God's will. And that's it. Full stop. That's what faith should be. Like, proper faith that is... What's that word you used before?
Undisputed.
Proper faith that's undisputed, that's raw, you don't put restrictions, and there are no doubts. And yeah, I'll leave it there before I go.
Let me clap. Let me just clap for the...
I had to use that example because I feel like it's a thing that a lot of like young people resonate with.
That's the only way we can really understand what you're saying. I feel like anyway. That's an example
what
really understand.
Triggered my like me to sit back and think, mate, do I even have faith? Like, because I'm just doing like, I'm basically like my unbeliever friends.
Yeah,
what makes me different?
Yeah, damn.
Yeah, so
well, guys, I'm gonna leave you to ponder on that, because to be honest, do you know how many times I'm gonna listen back to this myself? Like, just because there were so many, they're not even nuggets, they were boulders. There were massive boulders of wisdom in that, and I just really appreciate, I really thank God for having someone like you in my life, to be honest, because it's wisdom that you don't realize that is around you sometimes. And I feel like, excuse me, and I feel like I just not took that for granted, but you kind of forgot that there are other people that can offer you like something fresh on your understanding of your faith. I mean, faith as in Christianity, or your belief in God, or your discipleship. Yeah. So,
and what's one thing that's really important as a growing Christian is to have Christian friends. You cannot grow with unbeliever friends. It is not possible.
Unequally yoked, and it's not just relationships. No, we're not talking about
friendships as well. Some friends need to be dropped. Like, you know, I'm sure as I said that, the friends you just wanted to push it back so you don't feel guilty. Like, you know the friends that need to be dropped.
You know, you
just
need to drop
them now. So it's not when you fall that you're like, oh mate, I should have left that friend a long time. Now, when you're still in your, when you still know, you're still, you know what you're chasing after. It's not until they lead you astray, then you're like,
oh, I need to drop them now. No.
Before, drop them now, because where you're going is not where they're going. And where they're going to lead you to, you don't know.
That's God's confirmation, because someone said this to me yesterday as well. Like, you need to drop some people now. And not even just people, but habits and everything that's stopping you from progressing, where it's going to take you away from where you're supposed to go, or your Google Maps is going to redirect you.
Yeah.
You need to drop it now so that you can get to your destination quicker. Or let me not say quicker, but in the best way possible.
Get to your destination full stop.
Yeah, get to your destination.
Lead you somewhere else.
Huh, God in heaven.
Because the devil, mate, he's not a kind person at all.
He doesn't care.
He will use people close to you, to destroy the plans that God has for you. All, when I see young people and the potential that they have, God wants us to do like amazing things. And the devil knows, okay, if I use this friend is close to it. If I use this friend, I know that will do the trick. And this friend will start to whisper things into it. Not one day they'll sit down and start small things. You'll just be hearing things, you'll actually start to think about it, they'll be doing things around you, they will now become your habits, and before you know it, you've changed.
God. And the thing is, I feel like I heard this somewhere that that Satan or Lucifer, whoever, he was the only person that did not get God's mercy. So we should really thank God, like, he didn't get access. He's the only person that who had a slip up. I saw this somewhere, I'm really paraphrasing, who slipped up and is the only person who didn't have access to God's mercy. So we that have access to mercy in abundance, like, and grace, he doesn't want us to make the most of that. I mean, with that mercy,
jealous.
Like, he's very jealous, so he's trying to pull you away from having access or making you realize how much mercy is upon you to go back and fulfill what God has called you to do.
And he was chucked out. We have made so many mistakes and countless. We're still there. So,
and he still loves us, and he hasn't has not condemned us, but Lucifer's the only one that got condemned and had no access to mercy. So he's trying to stop as many people from having access to that mercy and ultimately fulfilling what God has called you to do. So please don't allow the way the enemy is using your friend or that habit or this thing to stop you from really basking in that mercy and continue on your roots. This Google Maps one, yeah, I'm going to use it somewhere. I must. It's mad.
Friends,
it's mad.
Close to you should be on a similar walk to you. Your hearts should be in similar places because when you're the times when you're really dwindling, you should be able to, the friends that you call friends,
they should lift you up.
You have to call them and they will go. They will not say, oh, don't worry, it's okay, you know, things will work out. No, they will tell you, get out of, what is wrong with you? They will really, really just really throw you off and make you really question the things that you believe and put you in the right direction. Not friends who will just be telling you what you want to hear. They will tell you what you need to hear. Those are the friends you have to have close to you. And that's what I've, like, we don't have time to be too politically correct. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody because, you know, we've been friends for 10 years.
Offend me.
We've been friends for 10 years and she's nice.
Nah.
And, you know, she bought me this for my birthday.
Nah.
Okay, thank you.
Offend me.
We can still be acquaintances. If you invite me to something, I may come. If you call me and you want to talk, I will listen. I will listen and I will not continue to stop talking to you because, you know, God might be using me to bring you to Christ. So I'm not going to disown you, but I can't let you into my heart. Because this heart of mine is too precious to just allow.
Come on, you know, guard your heart. Guard your heart.
Anybody to just come in and destroy it.
Y'all. We can go on.
Literally.
We can go on.
We can go on.
We can go on.
There's too many things.
Hmm.
And in our society today, yikes. Like, I just look at the young people growing up and just, wait, this is the world we're going to raise our children in.
There must be a change. There needs to be a change because I cannot be having children.
The world is going to end eventually, so it can only get worse. Well, we know that. The sooner we accept it, the easier it will be to protect people against, you know, attacks from the enemy. And if you can see how the world is now and the world your children are going to grow in, is what you need to start equipping yourself. So you need to be able to instill principles in your child.
100%.
They will not. So, yeah. And it doesn't start from you're pregnant. Okay, now I'll start.
I don't know why that's funny. I don't actually.
From young, cultivate those habits, those words of wisdom that you hear from here and there. Remember them, write them down, so that when your child is going through similar things, you won't have to be, you know, asking around. You will have those things in you, and you'll just be able to tell them just like that.
I feel like at this point, maybe it'd be ideal for us to just send out a prayer right now for, like, just for faith as well, for faith mainly, and then for the young people in general to have Christian friends, because that's two things we've kind of touched on, and they seem really important, like, maybe in my heart anyway, and because you mentioned it, I'm guessing in your heart.
Yeah.
So, I hope you don't mind, I'm just going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for just a time like this, and just an opportunity to have a fresh perspective on faith, and just understanding these things you have laid in our hands to understand, essentially. I want to thank you for the life of Zoe and everything that she said, and we just pray, Lord, that the way it's not just impacted us, or we have felt triggered or anything, not just feel the impact of what she's saying and what Holy Spirit has said through her, but Lord, we will act on it, because as we have understood, faith without works is dead. So Lord, with this action that we need to put in, I pray you give us strength to complete it in the name of Jesus, to change our ways, and if it requires repentance, Lord, we pray you give us the strength, and we will use our free will as well to repent totally of things that sway us from having doubts in the name of Jesus. We also pray for our friends, Christian friends, and just people around us, and things that ultimately influence the kind of people we are. We just pray, Lord, that it is always, we do not put ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time. We just pray we should not find ourselves among the scornful, among sinners, or just, is it Psalms 1? I think it's Psalms 1. Like, don't sit among the scornful, just in the wrong company, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, you'll continue to send us helpers of destiny, encouragers, people that are there to impact our lives in the way that you have intended, the people that are supposed, are willed to be in our lives. We pray they shall be there in the name of Jesus. And we also pray for our habits as well. We pray we shall not use our free will to do things that do not glorify your name in the name of Jesus. We shall always seek and pursue holiness and righteousness and everything that you have called us to be, Lord. We shall go after those things in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, and we just ask you to have mercy on us and to forgive us of all our sins. Also at this point in time, I just want to thank you, and I bless your name, Lord, for who you are and your love and just everything that you are. I just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, I'm just going to need you. I'm going to need you all to go and visit, what is it,
www.thevoiceofvoicey.com.
Okay, and go and read and go and be imparted with some more wisdom on that website. Do you have any socials?
All the socials are on the website.
All the socials are on the
Facebook
website.
Facebook and Twitter. And I also have my own personal Facebook.
Yeah, but that's not for you. But yeah, the socials are on the website, so www.thevoiceofyc.com. Go check it out, go read, go and be blessed. And also, if you want to, I mean, I feel a bit inadequate now, but you know what, I thank God. If you want to talk to me, you can find me on Twitter at @Juliana_Ennis, JULIANA_ENIS. What other socials do I have? You can comment under this post on SoundCloud. I think you can only do that on desktop. I think I just realized that recently. And also, go look at the other episodes as well. There's a playlist on episode 2 that I hope you guys will enjoy. I think we can leave it there. I don't really have anything
else
to say.
Thank you for having me. Hopefully I'll be back.
Oh, definitely. Oh, no, you'll be back. You'll be back. But thank you guys. And I hope you enjoy this episode. And yeah, be blessed. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.